Father God, we want to be those that learn. We have ears and we want to hear. And we want to be those that get the mysteries of God, according to Deuteronomy, I think it's 29:29, that your word says that the mysteries of God, the secrets of God belong to God and his people. We are your people who are called by your name, and we humble ourselves and we pray and we seek your face and we turn from our wicked ways. Dearest God in heaven, be with us and show us mercy and truth and the mystery of your word. May it be unveiled in us. Today we ask it. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Hey, it seems like I say this every week, but I guess the book of Revelation is like that. If this is your first time here at our church, sorry. It's crazy study today. But the book of Revelation... You guys could all hear that? Okay, then it's not the Lord. Never mind. Today's study, we're going to look at the enemy's plot and the enemy's plan for your life. Given the fact that at 4 o'clock I'm going to do this memorial, given the fact that I'm watching the stuff going down in this world, it's important. Given the fact that there are so many here in the body that are ex-users in one way or the other, this is really important. There was a great philosopher, I think he was Italian and Spanish, his name was something Santayana, and he said, those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat the past. Those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. The power of the enemy is strong, it's real, it's true, but it is unchanging. So let me show you, keeping your place in Revelation, please, if you would, turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. If you find the book of Psalms and Proverbs and just keep going to the right, past Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Past Lamentations to Ezekiel. Say amen when you're there so I know. I'm going to do is what's called make a composite sketch for you. If somebody has committed a crime and we have people describing what that person may look like, what they might act like, what we're going to do is make a composite sketch. We're going to paint a picture here, and I want you to see it in your mind, because here's what I'd like to have happen. After today's service is over, I want you guys to walk away going, that's how the enemy's working in my life. And I want you to be forewarned and forearmed. I want you to not fall for his lies or his deceit. I don't want you to be like mayonnaise anymore and just be kind of there. I want you to be strong like spicy brown mustard. You get hungry in the morning, you know, and you just look for these things. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up and you say, I am a god, I sit in the seat of gods in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a god. Though you set your heart as the heart of a god, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom and trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God. Please give me your attention real quick. This is what's called a prophetic word that has dual implication, a dual or even prophecy. Ezekiel, speaking of the prince of Tyre, he slips into this weird, almost trance, this spiritual trance that all of a sudden now he describes something of this man, person, who thought he was a god but wasn't a god. And watch how he goes a little bit deeper until he reveals exactly what he's talking about, which is a mystery that we, the body of Christ, those that are filled with the Spirit, can receive and can understand. Verse 7, because you have set your heart of a god, behold, therefore I will bring strangers against you. the most terrible of the nations. And they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They shall throw you down into the pit, and you shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas. Will you still say before him who slays you, I am a god? But you shall be a man and not a god in the hand of him who slays you. You shall die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of aliens. For I have spoken, says the Lord God. And then here it is. He goes deeper, deeper, and then the revealing. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Now, where did we slip? We slipped into the prophecy of a king who had gotten so full of himself that he thought he was a god. We saw a man who is dying, even proclaiming, you can't kill me, I'm God. Now he reveals exactly who he was talking about. He said, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden. Now, who is in Eden? Adam, Eve, and Satan. So here he is. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz and diamond, beryl, onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You see, there is one thing that God can do that nothing can do. You will see all through Scripture, the Apostle Paul and even our Lord Jesus talked about in the last of the last days, there will be false signs and wonders that will deceive even the elect. But there is one thing the enemy of God cannot do, create. The word in Hebrew is bara, something from nothing, where we get our word Genesis. He cannot create something from nothing. Here, the Lord God, through the prophet Ezekiel, says, you were created. Don't ever forget that. It was my father, Ron Gitman, who used to look and say, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. My father wasn't the only father that said that. And I want you to see how he used this. He said, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Again, if you're new to this type of study, this is called Satanology, the study of Satan. And what we are looking at here is none other than Satan's job. Before Satan was Satan, he was the seal of perfection. He was the most wonderful angel ever created. His name was Lucifer. And his job was worship leader. Timbrels and pipes are instrumentation that they used in Old Testament times. They look like flutes. They look like windpipes. You were the worship leader. And you think and you scratch your head again. If you don't know this type of study, you think, so what are you saying? He was a musician? That's exactly what I'm saying. Satan led the worship. He led all the angels to worship God. You guys know how important music is. We've been going through the book of Revelation. If you've ever read the book of Psalms, 150 Psalms are all songs and worship of God. Here, Satan, Lucifer, who was the worship leader, one day, he decides, somehow, some way, all the plan of God, nothing surprises God. Why are they worshiping him? I'm the one playing the music. They shouldn't worship the creator, book of Romans, but they should worship the creature, the one who is created. Mankind through the ages has always found a way to worship the creature, the created instead of the creature, instead of the creator, the blessings instead of the blesser. We're going to look a little more detail like that a little bit after. But look what he continues to say. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you down to the ground. I laid you before the kings that they might gaze at you. Now, please give me your attention. Again, he goes back now and starts talking about a king. But I want you to remember that the Lord Jesus said, I saw Satan falling like lightning. We looked at last week how halfway through the tribulation, there was this place somewhere in the stratosphere where it seems that all these angelic beings dwelt. But at one point in time, Michael and the archangels throw him out. He no longer dwells there, and he was cast down to the earth. That's part of the time that we're about to look at. However, leaving Ezekiel, I want you to turn a few pages to the left. I want you to turn, please, to Isaiah chapter 14. Continuing on this Satanology study, we are again comprising a composite sketch to understand exactly. First things first, now I want you to understand, please, if you're, again, one of those Bible geeks like myself, sin had not yet come into this world. The Garden of Eden, there was yet to be sin. The fall of man had not occurred. But yet, what was the original sin? What did we see was there before sin but pride? Pride. The sin that pulls, that always beckons in the greatest of places. That verse 9, look at verse 9, please. Hell beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from the thrones all the kings of the nations. Please give me your attention. According to Scripture, hell is not a place where a bunch of guys who you used to play cards and drink beer with are still there playing cards, drinking beer. You're not going to see all your buddies in hell. Satan does not rule in hell. All of the lies that you've seen from all the cartoons that we grew up on, where somebody dies and they go and there's Satan with a pitchfork, they're lies. The Bible says that hell was created for Satan and the devils. It wasn't even meant for man. It is where angels that have fallen go to be placed under chains of blackness, of darkness, and torture forever. Satan is not ruling in hell. It's not waiting for him to get there, so their leader is there. He's not there now rejoicing, and you don't go there, and he don't pick up the phone and go, thanks God, I'll take care of this one. That's not what's happening. And here you're again going to look at a composite sketch of exactly what's going on. Verse 10, they all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments, there it is, the maggot is spread under you, and the worms cover you. Now, again, the dual prophecy turning to a tri-prophecy comes to pass where the prophet, the prince of prophets, Isaiah, finally reveals exactly of whom he's speaking. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, which, so you guys know, that's a Hebrew word meaning hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? Please give me your attention. Let's look first thing as we leave Isaiah. Go back to Revelation. As a matter of fact, you know what? Turn to Genesis, please. first book of the Bible, if you're new to Scripture, Genesis, I believe we're going to go to 11. Yes, 11. Now, I want you to understand that Satan's plan for you is to counterfeit everything good that what God wants to do in your life with everything bad that he wants to do in your life. God has got the perfect mate for you, single brother, single sister, and Satan has got the absolute worst mate for you. God has got the perfect job for you. Satan has got the absolute most miserable job for you. Now, you could put anything in that place, whether it be your home, whether it be your vehicle. God has got everything for you. There is no aspect of your life that he's not interested in. There's no part of your life that he doesn't want to be a part of. There's nothing that he does not want to open his hand and give you that is good, even through the trials. But the enemy wants to wreck you. The Bible says that he came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So I want you to ask yourself, have you been ripped off? Is your life being destroyed? Because eventually he's just going to kill you once he's done with you. This is what he does. He's done it for millenniums. I want to show you where this started. All the way back to the creation of man. Now again, I have to do this because I see the look in some of your guys' eyes. We don't always talk like this at our church. Sometimes, I mean, like, going through the book of Revelation is making me really excited about starting the book of Matthew again. I can't wait. But this is where we are. And we go chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And apparently there's someone here, more than one, who needs to understand this. Because when we go to Revelation and finally start seeing where we're at in the tribulation period, we're going who knows how many years ahead of where we are now. And we must understand what Santanaya said, those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. For the exact same thing going on in the Middle East right now is what happened in Europe in the 1930s. And we all sat around and picked our noses and said, oh, we're war weary. We don't want to engage. We don't have to be the policemen of the world. And yet if you go to Germany, there's a big sign that says, never again. And yet, who was united with the German Nazis back then, which the media is not going to tell you, was the Islamic extremists. They were there then, and now they are doing the same thing now in the Middle East, committing genocide against anybody that doesn't believe as they believe. Jew, Christian, Muslim, they are creating, and our wonderful government is minding its own business. Those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. I want you to see where this all starts. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 10, starting in verse 8. Going through what's called a genealogy. If you're new to Scripture, a genealogy is the begots. This one begot that one, that one begot that one, this one came from this one, which in the end of Scripture, and you go to Matthew chapter 1, is super ultra important because the bloodline of Christ was perfect, the bloodline of David was perfect, so forth and so on. Verse 8 says, Cush begot Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Please give me your attention. This man, Nimrod, although he's got a funny name and it sounds like a kid's toy, Nimrod is not a kid's toy and he's not to be played with. That word, that phraseology is poorly executed to our American English. He began to be a mighty hunter on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. You could circle that word for before, and next to it write against. And next to that word write Antichrist. This was the first possessed Antichrist ever to walk the earth. He was against God and against God's people. And he did what every Antichrist does, tries to take what is good, counterfeit it, and make it evil. Skip down to chapter 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. This will be the last time. This is what's called an ecumenical movement. All of society has always tried to do this. You name, whether it's the Nazis, whether it's the Romans, you name, they want one thing and one thing only, world domination. And the only way to get world domination is one banking system, one political system, one religious system, one financial organization. And this is what Nimrod wanted to accomplish. Nimrod said, if everybody speaks my language, then I could rule the earth. I don't remember who said it. I looked it up and I can't remember who it was, but it was said, those who hunger power are least deserving of that power. Those who run from power are most suited to have power. Very, very interesting. You can let that roll around your brain for a little while, and the implications there are really accurate. Those who hunger for power are least suited to have it. Again, the whole earth had one language and speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. Please give me your attention. The first thing that Nimrod does with his people, he begins to create. Man was created from the dust of the earth, and he breathed the breath of life into it. Nimrod said, as he created, so I will create. And he took the dirt and he created, even though the proper recipe, and now this is going back to Levitical law, and you could see it later on, to make proper mortar, proper cement, he decided he's going to make it out of the mud. Out of the oil. This is the start of men utilizing oil from the earth. You can look that stuff up. I don't want to get too far into that. He was now counterfeiting what God had done. Verse 4, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. We don't need God. Let us throw his yoke off of us. Let us rule ourselves. We don't need no God telling us what to do. Verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one and they have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Here's what he says in the quite literal translation of the Hebrew, which this is the Old Testament. This is the Pentateuch. This is the Torah that we're reading from now. This is the Jewish Bible. In the original language, it speaks like this. All these people now are ready to be deceived. Anything is possible for them. You've heard me say, with God, all things are possible. Without God, anything's possible. Verse 7, come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language over the earth. From there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. So let me explain this to you in quite a comical way, even though there is very little comedy here to be had. They are making this tower that they're going to erect, that all the world would see this amazing creation of Nimrod. Look what Nimrod made. I did not know men could build such things. Truly, this man is like a god. And God, I don't know, some say this is a reference to the Trinity. Let us make God. Let us go down there. The word us, who is he talking to? An angel? Was it the Father talking to the Son? Was it the Son talking to the Spirit? Who knows how this Trinitarian thing works? However, God being God and not some man, didn't have to work hard. He goes, these people are going to screw themselves all up. I say we take action. I don't know. What do you want to do? Let's do something really cool. What are you going to do? Watch this. Boom. Hey, we need some more mortar up here. ¿Qué pasó? We need more mortar. ¿Cómo se dice? ¿Tú hablas español? I don't know what you're saying. Gabinete del hombre. Huh? Everybody who could understand what I'm saying, let's go that way. Everybody that can understand what I'm saying, let's go that way. Let's go build a city. Because if you've ever been to a foreign land, listen, Americans, we have this luxury that the whole world wants to speak English. But a few months ago, I was in Brazil, and I found out that Brazilians really don't care if they speak English or not. And I found out something. It's really uncomfortable if you don't speak their language. And like, I don't want to go outside because nobody wants to talk to me. And I think I spent like $30 on an umbrella. And the worst is I didn't even get to keep the umbrella. It was just an umbrella on the beach. I took out a $10 bill and the guy said, it's good, it's good. And he took my $10 later to find out that a reale is like 3 to 1. So that's 30 bucks for an umbrella for an hour. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to stay in my hotel room. So now I had this little peek into, you know what, not speaking the language really kind of sucks. And I had this new feeling of pity and mercy on people that come here, man. And if you've come here from a different country and you didn't speak the language and you worked hard and you learned the language and you made a success story out of yourself just through hard work, man, I tell you what. That's why I'm amazed that my grandfather came here. Man, he had no idea. Little Italy was just a bunch of Italians that got together. You know, my grandfather from my other side, he came from Russia, fleeing from Hitler. And just, they came here and they didn't speak nothing, you know, and they had to go find. That's why these pockets of people are still there today. You go there and you go to Little Italy and it hasn't changed in 60 years, you know? And the Italian that they speak there is like from this little Sicilian town, Palermo. It's just, it's amazing. It's amazing. And so that's what happened at the Tower of, and that's why they call it Babel. When you ever hear somebody say, you're a babbling fool. Now you know why. Because one guy was asking for mortar and the other guy had no idea what he was talking about. However, going back to the original thought after our comedy relief there, counterfeiting, that's what he does. Now, go please to Revelation 13. Here's that. All that was an introduction to today's Bible study. And I will try to go quickly through it so we're not here till 4 o'clock. If you've been with us, then you understand. If you've not been with us, then try to catch up. What we are looking at is the Apostle John stranded on the Isle of Patmos because of the word of his testimony. He starts to see visions of the future. Visions not only of his future, which was 2,000 years ago, but visions of our future. So John is yet now seeing a vision of what in the Greek is called metatauta, the things that will come to pass. He is now, if you've been with us again, halfway through the Great Tribulation. And now the unveiling. You know how the book is called the Book of Revelation? The unveiling of Christ. Now the unveiling of what the Bible calls the man of sin, the son of perdition, otherwise known as the Antichrist. Not an Antichrist or a Antichrist. This is the Antichrist himself. I will speak slowly. And if you have questions, please don't be afraid to just quick raise your hand. I want you to know what you're talking about because the book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that says there is a blessing in knowing this book. It's the only book that says that. Know this book comes with a blessing. So you must understand that this is a very important book to understand. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Again, please give me your attention. we know that unlike most of the rest of the book of Revelation, because of chapter 12, these things that we're looking at now are symbolic. Most of the book of Revelation up till now has been literal. And when we looked at these hordes of satanic horses coming out of the ground a few weeks ago, or these other hordes of the satanic scorpions, those were real and true. Those were literal. But because he said he started this vision in chapter 12 with the sign and the symbol, this is the continuing vision of that symbol. There was a beast who now we'll find out later on is actually a man, and he rises up out of the sea. Some say it's the Mediterranean Sea, thus giving the Antichrist an origin. Some say he's from this Mediterranean area there, one of these villages over there around the Mediterranean Sea. Continuing though, now the beast, verse 2, which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. You can look back to the book of Daniel, chapter 7. Daniel has a vision of the exact same beast. You could understand what this beast is describing. Again, I want to go through this chapter. The dragon gave him power, his throne, and great authority. Who gave him this power? The dragon. Now, who did we learn that the dragon was last week? Anybody remember? Satan. So here is what is being set up. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are who we worship right now, right? Right. Well, we're about to see the Antichrist, Satan, and his false prophet, because that's what the plan of the enemy always is, to take what God creates and to recreate it in his image, because we were created in God's image to do mighty works. Everything that Satan does is false. It is a counterfeit designed to wreck your life. Continuing, and I saw, verse 3, one of his heads, if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? Please give me your attention. I'm going to try to keep everybody up to speed, and I'm not condescendingly saying that. I've been studying it all week. I guarantee if you ask me this stuff in a month, I'll be like, I don't remember. I have to look it back up. It's not like I walk around with all this information in my head. I studied all week, right up to early this morning, digging into this stuff. However, Satan, the devil, is the dragon. He's giving authority over the whole earth to this beast, this Antichrist. Now, again, we're halfway through the Great Tribulation. Some say there's maybe less than 1 billion people left on the earth from the plagues and the bowl judgments and the trumpets. Now, what's going on the earth is a complete setup. You guys remember the two witnesses. We thought they were Moses. One of them was Moses and the other one was Enoch. Excellent. Good job. And now this dragon comes out of the earth and kills them. He then gives that authority to the beast, the Antichrist, so the whole world goes, how are we going to fight against it? If he killed God's witnesses, now the fact that these two witnesses rose and ascended into heaven, the earth doesn't care about that. Again, remember what I said? The earth, all the people of the earth from the beginning of time are looking for somebody to worship. And it was Bob Dylan who wrote that amazing song, you're going to worship somebody. It might be the devil, it might be God, but you are created to worship, and you will worship. For instance, have you seen the grand statues of Buddha? Amazing. Buddha proclaimed over and over and over, don't worship me. Karl Marx, statues. You name the man who walked the face of the earth seeking power or not seeking power, and it doesn't matter. Man will find a way to enshrine him and to worship him, whether it's sports figures who are undeserved, whether it's, there's a guy, Sigmund Freud, the godfather of all modern psychology. You college students know who I'm talking about, right? You feel me on this stuff, right? What a freaking loser. A cokehead. He said he slept with his daughter. I mean, if you go through the list of things, They still study his writings. Like, this guy is some, and my daughters bring this stuff home from college, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Do they not know what this guy did? Wow. Amazing. Man is looking for somebody to worship. You guys have heard me even say about myself, people are looking for a pastor that will be plastic, pathetic. What's the other word I use? Perfect. Which I am not. Never even going to make believe that I am anywhere near it. Can't happen. Just when you think, listen, if there's one thing my pastor taught me that I held so that when he fell, it was an easy transition, although the pain was real. He said it for years and years and years. I'm a man. I'm fallible. Don't worship me. He used to tell this story of a knock on the door. Who is it? It's the mailman. Open the door, and there's a woman whose husband is in the war. Letter from your husband. Thank you so much. Every day. Letter from, not from her husband, from her betrothed, from a guy that loved her, writing her a letter. How special she was, how dear she was, how wonderful. Now, this man that was away in the war wanted only one thing, for this woman to fall in love with him. So he wrote letter after letter, book in volumes of letter, but eventually that woman did fall in love with the mailman. Don't fall in love with the mailman, please. Ask my wife and kids. It won't work. You'll be let down. Continuing. Who is able to make war with him? Verse 5. And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months, which is the remaining time when the enemy knows. You see, the devil knows his time is short right now, and he's going to take as many people to hell with him as he can. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Again, if you've been with us, they have now, during this time in our future, rebuilt the temple. The Jewish temple has been rebuilt. They've reinstituted animal sacrifice, which to the Jew is a wonderful thing, so they can be forgiven of their sins, doing away with the Feast of Purim, going back to biblical times when we could finally... Now, for you guys that might know this, if you study this stuff, right now in Israel, they have over 85% of the utensils already made, already in place. They have already bred out the oxen. They are waiting for the place to rebuild the temple. This man is going to set a peace treaty of 7 years, which will allow Israel to build this temple. And halfway through it, he will step inside and create what's called the abomination of desolation. You will now worship me, entire world, Jews, Gentile. There should be almost no Christians left. They will be scattered if they are. Now, why would he want to do that? Because everything that God has done is what he wants. The world has worshiped God. Now the world will worship the devil. This is what he does. When you understand this, then seeing his plan unfold in your life is so much clearer. He is jealous to no end. His pride has no bounds. Anything that God has done, he wants you to give him credit for doing it. Anything that he has, that God has, the devil wants twice as much. Verse 7. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Listen to me. Here's, I want you to see this happen. This man comes along, and he's so powerful. But I want you to understand that he doesn't have some red cape, some tail with a point on it, and he's not carrying a pitchfork. He is dynamic, and he is intelligent, and he is good looking, and he has the wisdom from appearing heaven, but it's not, it's hell. And at a time when the earth is falling apart, remember, we're looking at our future, a future that is yet to come, where all financial systems have broken down. Almost the whole world now is returned to a place of third world likeness. Cities, entire cities are being run by street people, like Mad Max stuff going on. You know what I'm talking about, guys? This is crazy what's going on the earth now. The inhabitants of the world have gone nuts. Now one man is going to stand up and show everybody how to fix it. And he's going to come bringing peace. He's going to say, peace and safety, I'm bringing in this. I'm bringing in a new time of prosperity for the people of the earth. And he's going to look modest and gentle. He's going to be a soft and gentle man for the first few years. And he's going to have, let the Jews build their temple. We must live in harmony and unity with our brethren. He will be amazing. But those that dwell on the earth who love the Lord, who are filled with the Spirit, they're already going to know, for his name is 666. And we'll discuss this in a second. But those that are walking the earth are going to know that's him. And the rest of the world is going to say, what? How could you not like him? Are you crazy? What do you mean you don't like Barack Obama? Are you crazy? Now, I'm no way insinuating that Barack Obama is the Antichrist. Please, that's not what I was insinuating. I'm just saying that's the fervor of some of the people. How could you? Listen, I don't have nothing against the guy. I don't know him. I don't like his politics, okay? But you can't say anything bad about. Take it easy, man. I wasn't attacking him. I don't care what color he is. I don't like his politics. People go crazy. It will be worse. For this man will come and he will bring great peace. Continuing. Verse 9, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Guys, this looks like a really nice thing to say, but it's really not. This is proclaiming what's called a new world order. We live in a time of grace right now, where God is not holding men's sins against them. The Jews in Old Testament times, they lived in a period what's called the law. And there was the intertestamental period of time. There was time of John the Baptist. There's all these different, really fancy word, dispensations. However, right here rings in a new dispensation, which brings us back to the law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. This point in time, here's what this great man of Satan, this son of perdition, this Antichrist will say, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. They will create hate crimes. And if you speak against this beast, this man, you will be put to death because you are an enemy of the state. For now we have a one world order. There's only 1 billion people left on the world. And now we can unite all to worship. The whole world will finally worship the beast who is empowered by the dragon, which is all he ever wanted. He is sick and tired of people worshiping God. He is the one, after all, that led them in worship. And all that time, they didn't know they were worshiping him, not God. And he can't take it. You following me, guys? Questions so far? Whew. Verse 11, then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, please, again, going back to the deadly wound that was healed. Apparently, if one of those heads, one of those horns that was killed is a nation, then what's going to rise out of it, some say, is the new Babylon, which is in an Iraq area. Babylon is in the Iraq area in the Middle East. Persia is Iran. If you guys, you can look and see all these different nations that were back then. But apparently there's some nation that was defeated long ago that is going to rise again. And literally overnight, it's going to become the epicenter of finance. It's going to become the epicenter of religion. It's going to become the epicenter of business. It's going to become some kind of deadly wound. This person, somebody will try to kill them. And now that always makes people really, maybe it'll be a well-intended Christian, who knows, maybe whatever they're going to use in the last day, they want to kill the Antichrist. They try to kill him. It looks like he's dead, but somehow he endures. Somehow he survives. Are you understanding me? So this deadly wound that gets healed, this last person that comes up, he's the final. He is now what they call, later you'll see in the book of Revelation, he is the prophet. Just again, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, the Antichrist, his prophet, and the beast, or I mean then the dragon, the devil, which gives them the power. So now this great man who sits atop of the world, he has a prophet that tells him what to do. So here's what we got to do. Now he creates this environment that the whole world must worship him. Are you understanding me so far? Okay, continuing. Where did I leave off? Help me. 12:13, there it is. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, again, counterfeiting. What did we see Elijah do? Call down fire on Mount Carmel. What did we see from even the two prophets that spoke in the holy city? Call down fire. If you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, the book of when Moses was leading the people out, do you remember? He put his staff down and became a snake. And what did the magicians from Egypt do? The same thing. And that's what deceives people. When people don't want to believe in God, the people who most deny the very existence of God are the first ones to believe anything that comes from hell. It's the craziest thing in the world. Don't you see what God has done in your life? No. Thank God I have my Ouija board. You don't believe in the miracles of God, but you read the astrology? Are you serious? Verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Please stop right there before we read 16. This is very interesting. Because at first it sounds ridiculous until I explain it to you. He says, okay, here's what he wants all the people on the earth to do. He wants them to make an image, maybe like a cross. Now, why would he have them make something like a cross? Because the whole world already wears crosses. Even people who don't know God, they have it on their shoes, they have it on their clothes. I seen a girl the other day with crosses all over her shirt, and she had more body than shirt. You know what I'm talking about? And it's like, I think you missed something, sister. Let's continue to counterfeit what God has done. Let's make everybody have something. Now, in this something, in this device, in this thing, I will then send a delusion so grand, so wonderful, they'll think it will speak to them. Now, to us who are learned and experienced, I mean, these fools, this is 2,000 years ago, we know that's just stupid. Nobody would ever get like a stone in their house, like a, I don't know, a, what are those little stones? A crystal, and say the crystal speaks to me. I mean, I want you to know, let's take all the people of the earth and let them all die, just for a second, just stay with me. Now, let's say some aliens came down from outer space and started walking around and going into people's houses, and they go, wow, these earth creatures were really crazy. Really? What was so crazy about them? Every one of them had these boxes in every room that they worshiped night and day. Some of them had big ones. Some of them had little ones. Some of them had, could you imagine? Some of them had boxes with boxes. And then boxes stuck to the side of them. Because cable's not enough. I need cable. I need a dish. I need Apple television. Well, they did it again. So he says, I want them worshiping the beast. And some way, this is going to be set up. Again, remember I said, think about what the earth is going to look like at this time. This is halfway through the Great Tribulation. They're probably still burying dead bodies. This is a third world planet. And they probably set up registration stations in every single city. You register or you die. We will not have this happen again. We'll not have what happen again? These Christians. Look what they did. Look how they left. Look what they... Open season on Christianity. Worse. Don't be a last day saint. You don't want to be a tribulation saint. However, continuing, verse 16, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their forehead. You see that word says he causes? That means do or die. He doesn't suggest it. He doesn't ask it. He doesn't go, gee willikers, would you? He says he causes. You put this mark on you or you die. Something, now they don't have that technology now, but imagine if they had something like, I don't know, like a little, some way that has all this information. A chip. Who said chip?
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. What if you had a chip installed and it was in your forehead or your hand, and like when you went to the store, because money, man, you know, people can rob money, especially in a third world country. You got money, I take it, boom. It's mine now. And checks, you ever write a check? It scares me right now to write a check. But if there was a way, instead of money changing hands, the banking system was set up so that instead when I work, instead of getting a check, they just put the money right into my account, like direct deposit type of thing. And then instead of having to walk around with all this cash because I'm afraid somebody might roll me for my money, you know, I could just have a number, maybe like a credit card. But then they learned how to counterfeit those credit cards quickly, didn't they? Imagine something maybe under the skin. And when I went to a store, I got my groceries, I just slide my hand. You can't get robbed unless you cut the guy's hand off, but then it would be rotten and that'd be terrible, you know what I mean? Nah, that can't happen. That's silly. Verse 17, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So again, here's where we finish. You can close your Bible, but I want you to tune in. Let me just wrap this up. Because the 666, everybody's watched The Omen. They look for the birthmark, all this other stuff. Yeah, no, stop. Listen. The book of Revelation was written in the language of Greek. Greek is one of the most amazing languages ever created by God because every letter has a numerical value to it. Plus, every language that we use, every popular language that's used on the earth, whether it be English, French, German, I mean, almost all these languages can be transliterated from Greek to this language. Meaning, even English now, every numeric, like the Greek alphabet and the English alphabet is almost verbatim. So every letter has a numerical value. We call it alphanumeric. Thus, every name has a value as well. So he says, I want you that have wisdom to understand. Now, I want you to know that about 100 years before he walked the face of the earth, a prophecy was given that there would be a king named Josiah who would bring great reformation. And then there was also a prophecy in the Bible about a man named Titus who would bring great reformation. Why, if he did that, wouldn't he just say his name? His name is, and there it is. I don't know. There's no answer to that. Maybe the guy would change his name. Who knows? Who knows what it is? But apparently, those who dwell on the face of the earth at the time will know this man's numerical value is 666, which, listen, you can do studies that will blow you away. Where the number of completion is 777, the number of perfection is 888. Guess what numerical value Jesus Christ has? 888. If you go through all the little number systems that are going on here, how the number of incompletion is 6, and how he is, I'm telling you, it'll spin your brain. You're like, no way, this is crazy. However, Lyndon B. Johnson, at the time that he was doing all the things in our country, guess what his number was? His numerical value of his name was 666. But he wasn't the Antichrist, was he? Apparently not. So it's not like every person whose alphanumerical number is 666 is the Antichrist, but he wants us to be careful. I want you to watch and see the person. Now for us, we're probably never going to know who the Antichrist is because we're going to be raptured. You that love the Lord, you're going to be out of here. Just like you send a text, whoop, gone. That's us. Whoop, whoop, whoop. You think everybody's getting texts, but it's not. It's the rapture. You ever in a store and somebody gets a text and you're like, wow, I got a text. And then you look in front, oh, that was him. That's how it's going to be like. I hope I'm getting a rapture. Honey? Whoop. But the person whose alphanumerical number is 666 is the Antichrist. Now, although we won't be here, those that dwell in the faith, listen, if anybody here doesn't love the Lord, and you're still going to be here? Now you know, okay? You're so much easier to just accept Christ now as your Savior and avoid this whole thing because it ain't going to be a fun time to be on the earth. Please know this. The way to defeat the enemy in your life from all counterfeit things, it's not a mystery. It's not some secret hidden from the ages, but it is hard. It's difficult. There's 5 things that you do. You read scripture. You spend time in prayer. You go to church. You worship God, and you share your faith with the lost. If you do these 5 things every single day, then God will give you the good things and you will be ready and you will be strong to say no to the counterfeit things. I can't tell you where they're coming from. Your work is your work. God is doing a different work in your life than he's doing in everybody else's life. But he who begun a work will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And if you will spend time in that book every day, if you will spend time in prayer every day, if you will worship God and him alone shall you serve, if you will stay in church and get encouraged by the brethren, if you will share your faith, when the counterfeit comes along, it ain't gonna smell right. It just, but this is the job for you. I don't know why, but I just don't sense that it is. I read something this morning in scripture, and it didn't confirm this as the job. It didn't confirm that as the one. It's not confirmed. I talked to my pastor at church. I didn't find it. I have a brother. These are the ways that you do. The plan of the enemy, the reason he wanted to cut that population down is because when the people gather together and there is unity of thought, the power of God can act. And even the smallest of churches can affect a gigantic change. But when you are divided, you are ready to be conquered. The Bible said a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. You show me somebody who's making decisions on their own and doesn't want good counsel and doesn't have a Bible verse. You guys that have married here, that I've married, or the guys that are here that are going through premarital, what's the first question I ask you? Where is your verse? You going to marry somebody God hasn't given you a verse to marry? Are you out of your mind? Marriage is hard enough when you're married to the right person. If you are here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't let culture, religion, your friends, your family, let nothing get in the way. Don't believe about us what you've seen on TV, what you've heard in the newspaper. We are not trying to mess with your money or your sex or your life. All we're trying to do is introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever he wants to do, that's his job to do. Now, receiving him as your Savior is as simple as saying a prayer that says, God, my plan didn't work. I want your plan. God will look down upon your heart, not your words, your heart, because there's any number of prayers you can pray. You say that prayer, believing it in your heart. You know what? This is my life from now on. I am making a dedication. This ain't fire insurance. This is a life-changing experience. The creator of the universe is going to take up residence. He's going to put his spirit inside you to stay forever, to change your life. Do it. Do it now. And don't be afraid. You'll never regret it. Other than that, God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. Let me pray for you. Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to look at your word and to see the things that are going to take place, metatauta. And God, I thank you so much that this truly scaring the hell out of me, God. It's scaring the hell out of me, God. I am so afraid of hurting you again, God. I'm so afraid of not making a good choice with my life, God. Please, I beg of you, for myself and for my brothers and sisters that are here, those that have been shaken, those that have been truly warned today, help them, God. Scare hell out of them too, God. Scare hell far from us, for your word declares, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Your word says that you rebuke the devourer, that our field may produce fertile soil again. God, I pray, please, for each and every brother and sister that is here, that they would become addicted to your word, God, that their hearts would hunger and thirst for righteousness, and that the enemy would have no place in their lives ever again. God, I pray a blanket of protection over this congregation that you've entrusted us to. May you reveal the enemy's plot and plan, that they would escape like a bird from the hand of the fowler and from the hand of the hunter. Thank you, God, for your word. It's beautiful and it's wonderful. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.